Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. So this piece was published on the 14th of May, 2022, and is called Golang Diaries, Generics. Before I start into this, it's going to have some rough patches because there are some small but, you know, non-trivial chunks of code in here, which I'm not going to read out to you. I will describe their effect, and if you are the kind of person who understands code, really, you should probably pull up the online textual form of this to get the experience, but we'll do the best we can. So my coding time this year has been invested in Quamina, and that's a link to a blog piece about it, an event filtering library implemented in Go. Just in the last couple of weeks, I spotted an opportunity to bring Go's shiny new generics to bear, and not just anywhere, but for a central data structure. I got good results, but the process was sort of painful. I kept trying things that looked like they ought to work, but didn't. I'm sharing this tour through that experience because I'm a reasonably competent programmer with mainstream tastes, and if I hit these bumps in the road, others probably will too. The title of this piece suggests it's a continuation of two other Golang Diaries entries I wrote back in 2013 when I was first discovering the language. Why not? I've got at least one more of these in mind. So why generics? Quamina is all about building and running finite automata. To do this, you need a table-like data structure that represents states and the transitions between them. Quamina uses both deterministic and non-deterministic finite automata, let's say DFAs and NFAs. The only real difference is that a transition from a DFA state is always to one other state. In an NFA, you can have transitions to multiple others. In practice, it means a transition to a single list of states. I noticed that the NFA and DFA tables were almost identical, as was the code that built them and stepped through them while matching. And I'd recently read on the Go blog a piece called When to Use Generics, that's a link, which has sections entitled When Using Language-Defined Container Types, General Purpose Data Structures, and Implementing a Common Method. Check, check, and check. Then in the final section, one simple guideline, it says, if you find yourself writing the exact same code multiple times, where the only difference between the copies is that the code uses different types, consider whether you can use a type parameter, which is one of the flavors of generic. Check! So off I went. Later that week, it was all working, but along the way, I yelled at the computer way more than I would have expected. I don't really recommend diving into the Quamina source at this point. There's too much else to explain. So back to basics. To help illustrate my bumpy road, I made a toy GitHub project, there's a link here, to a file called typing.go. It includes a genericized container type, and this type is called container, with the generic just being a comparable, and it's called S, and it's a struct with a label which is a string and a list of these S things, the generic type. And it's got one assorted function called size, and it just returns the size of the list of generic whatevers that are in the container. So now I'm going to define a really boring struct type, which is called fish, and it's only got one element species, which is a string. So here's where things started going off the rails. I offered the following, which is to say I created a new type called fish tank, which is just a container for fish. Okay, that's fine. Wow, I told myself, now I have a strongly typed container, so I can write nice clean code without any generics cruft. On that basis, I designed another function called fish count, which just tells you how many elements are in the list of whatever they are, in this case fish, and prints out how many fishes and the number. Ouch! The Golang IDE said unresolved reference size, and the compiler, via Go build, said t.size undefined, type fish tank has no field or method size. Well, I did define a size on the container type, and so I think I should have a size method. After all, it's a container, the compiler seemed to be okay with that. Well, dear reader, as I proceed through this narrative, if you are a Go erudite, it will doubtless occur to you that, one, there's a better and supported way to do what I'm trying to do, and two, I shouldn't want to do what I'm trying to do. I welcome the first type of remark. One goal of writing this piece is to provoke them. As for the second, I really don't care what you think what I should want. As I said above, my hypothesis is that enough others will also want to do this type of thing that the issue is worth discussing. Now, since I wrote this, there was brisk outbreak of discussion in the comments and over on Hacker News. Here's an update that wasn't in the original version, and it's titled Update, the Morning After. See number one above, where I asked for suggestions of better ways to do things. So there is a way to accomplish what I want. So I'm not going to show you the syntax, and it's not obvious syntax. So if you care, go read it. And thanks to the commenters below and over at Y Combinator for the guidance. It's not obvious to me that this is better, though. Would it be rude to say that it's counterintuitive and requires understanding things that ordinary folks in the code minds shouldn't have to? But okay, it works. And I'm going to go back and make some pieces of Quamina a little more readable. Now, let's look at another problem. And let's look at fat fish. So let's take that fish struct I talked and make a new one called data-rich fish, which also contains a species label, but also a great big chunk of floating point data. So, you know, it could be a fairly large type in practice. Now, suppose that, first of all, that not all fish have that data material, that extra floating point data. Second, let's suppose that this thing goes into production and we start to track a whole lot of fish, millions and millions and millions, and so it gets really big in memory and people start yelling at us to use less memory. Well, Go's interface mechanism should make this easy. So what I do is define an interface called flexible fish that has a get species and get data. And I use this data-rich fish struct to return the species or data, and I have a stingy fish one that has the species but no data. And if you call get data on it, it just returns a static variable, which means no data here. See how it works? A flexible fish can have either an attached datum or not, and if it doesn't, it signals the absence by returning the static global data not provided. So let's put those flexible fish in the tank. So I make a new type. Container of my genericized type with flexible fish. Ouch! The compiler says flexible fish does not implement comparable. So interfaces aren't comparable, but I can make a map with an interface as a key, and don't you have to be comparable to be a map key? I guess an interface could be implemented by something whose type was like a slice of ints, which isn't comparable. Okay, the shallowness of my understanding is showing here. But suppose there was a way to promise that a type was comparable. Well, it kind of looks like there is, at least in Go 1.18. So I can say, type comparable flexible fish interface and just say comparable, because that's a thing you can have in a type declaration now, and then have the get species and get datum interfaces, functions defined. And the compiler is okay with that, so until I actually try and use it, so I make a new type called comparable flexible fish tank. Good type name. Which is one of my containers, generic, only a container for comparable flexible fish. Ouch! So Goland says, interface includes constraint elements can only be used in type parameters. And the compiler says, interface is or embeds comparable. So I understand those two error messages about equally well. Narrator's voice, he's equally baffled. I guess I am skating pretty far outside the lines here, to judge only by the complete incoherence of the error messages. But I think the intent of what comparable in the type declarations is perfectly clear. The thing implements the listed methods and promises to be comparable. So if I try to claim something is a comparable flexible fish and it's implemented the right methods but isn't comparable, the compiler can stop me with a helpful error. Once again, maybe I shouldn't want to do these things, but I do. Now, I'm going to stop before I get to the conclusion and say that apparently this whole issue about interfaces and whether or not they're comparable is a well-known pain point in Go, and there have been endless discussions on GitHub and various issue trackers and so on. And it's been suggested to me that this one is probably going to get fixed, so what I want to do here will become possible. So takeaways. The performance was great. There was no detectable slowdown when I genericized one of my core data types. Note that this is not always true, and that's a link. And if you care, you should really follow that link, but get a large cup of coffee first because it's technically very dense. And I threw away a whole lot of duplicative code, which made me very happy. When generics arrived in Java, I hated them. I thought the ratio of pain removed to complexity added was way too low. I don't hate Go's generics, which is actually a pretty strong testimony, given that I spent the best part of a couple of days fighting all the stuff described above. But my guess is the Go generic story isn't finished yet. And in fact, the discussion posted following on this piece suggests that guess is probably correct. Well, that's all, folks.